It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so here we are, and it is Monday, and I'm just tweaking some audio here. It is Monday, the 8th day of April, 2019. This program is live. It's a very special live Moran Monday on the front porch, coming to you from a secure, undisclosed location somewhere in the general vicinity of Washington, D.C. We had a weekend and got to, you know, relax a little bit, Bo and I did, but Monday morning came around and we were right back at it again. Meetings on the Hill today, and tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow, history will be made. For tomorrow, there will be, for the first time ever, a hearing on what is now H.R. 2050, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, we know it as the AHEC Act, and the impacts of mountaintop removal on human health. I am really beat for space around here. That sucks. All right, we'll try it this way. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Did I do that part? Anyway, this is Moran Monday, and we didn't get to do a Friday on the front porch. Oh, let me see here. Too many things to do all at one time. Oh, thank you. Steve in New York says, loud and super clear from Lower Manhattan. Steve sent me a photograph earlier of, Steve found some Pappy Van Winkle for sale in Lower Manhattan for the low, low Kmart price of $3,500 per bottle. Yes. Who would do that? Maybe some hedge fund manager or something, but Jesus Christ, that's insane. Here in a little bit, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and the Skype link is live over at headon.live. If you'd like to participate, in the roundtable discussion this evening, well, use that link over at headon.live, and it'll take you right to the Skype group, and we'll be away and chatting in fairly short order. I had a note from Sparky, who manages the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation that we have in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and Now, let me go back to it just to make sure I read it right. Yeah, he should be home by the top of the next hour. And then we'll get the group going. So, by the way, if you, I've reached out to several members of Congress based upon the contacts that you have made, and I appreciate them. Well, we all do. The Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign does. We appreciate you making them. If you want to, please, just because we're going to be leaving D.C. in a couple of days, don't stop telling your elected representatives that you want them to co-sponsor this bill and vote in favor of it when the time comes, when and if we get a floor vote on it. Activism never, so that's the thing. The people who blow up the mountains, the people who poison the communities, the people who work for the coal companies, they, at the end of the day, they leave and they go home, nowhere near the places that that they blast and torment and poison. But when it is, when mountaintop removal is in your community, you don't get to get away from it, and you don't get to clock out. So, to that extent, activism is, well, forever. And I'm told, thank you very kindly to Randy and PA for letting me know that we're hot and true on both the White Rose streams stream and the Head On Live stream. That's wonderful. If you'd like to be part of the chat room, of course, the usual statement applies. Run over to headon.live and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Bill and Jimmy and Otto Deschott and Richard and Squeaky, and we'll have a rousing good time. But like I said, just because we're leaving doesn't mean we're going to stop doing the work, because there's always follow-up work to be done. There's work to be done arranging new meetings for the next time that we're here. There will be a next time. And then, like I said, tomorrow, big day. And by the way, you can watch that. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sure everybody just loves to see my arm. We're also doing the video experiment by putting this out on Facebook video. So, for what it's worth. And that's what was about with my arm. That's not a radio comment. Anyway, if you want to watch the hearing tomorrow, you will. All you have to do is look up the House Natural Resources Committee, and there will be a link there for the stream tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Dr. Michael McCauley is going to testify. Donna Branham from West Virginia is going to testify. Carl Shoup, a great guy from Kentucky, is going to testify. And then the Republicans are bringing in the head jerk from the Kentucky Coal Association, who, of course, does not give a tinker's damn about the people that he poisons as long as, you know, the checks keep clearing. So there's that. But that all happens at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We've got meetings in the morning. And then, you know, we're done as of tomorrow afternoon. Program note, probably no program tomorrow night because I'm going to be busy packing stuff up, and I'm going to have the rental vehicle absolutely loaded so that, you know, come Wednesday morning, I can just go right outside, jump in it, and head for the hills, literally. Oh, did I tell the rental car story? I can't remember now. It has been an absolute rental car disaster. So I rented one level of car, and I was picking it up in Summersville. I rented one level of car at Enterprise, And so I got there, and they said, "Man, we're sorry. We ain't got nothing this but right here." I said, "This is not what I reserved." "Yeah, I know. Sorry about that." And so I got a Nissan Sentra again, which I just cannot abide because I wind up driving with my chin on my knees. It's just too cramped. I'm too big. And then the next day, when I got ready to leave, lo and behold, the little light came on that said that emergency automatic braking was disabled or had failed. And then it said that the front-facing radar was down. And once I got up to highway speeds out at Sam Black Church, I took it up to 70 miles an hour just long enough to know that I never wanted to drive 70 miles an hour in that car again. Because it started shaking and it started rattling. And it was pretty good. It was pretty well certain at that time that I felt like I was not dry. I was not in a safe automobile. And so then began the process of finding, on a Sunday, an enterprise car rental place that was open. And this is where the story actually, I mean, this is where the experience got better. I found one in Harrisonburg, Virginia. The guy was very kind. He stayed late, so that I swapped out that piece of junk. All he had handy was a Nissan Rogue. Put me in that, and so that's what I'll be driving home. Yeah, Barkway in the chat room says, "Nissan Sentra, we usually get stuck in a Versa, which is even smaller." Oh, you'd have to use a shoehorn to get me into a Versa. But at any rate, I'll be driving home on Wednesday in this rental car. We'll turn it in Wednesday. And by the way, pardon the way I sound. It's pollen season in the nation's capital. And I feel like I've been turned upside down and had somebody pour concrete in my sinuses. I mean, there's been, and I hope it won't happen during the program, you know, spontaneous serial sneezing of like, you know, 5-10 blasts. Yuck. But anyway, leaving Wednesday, so probably, and packing and everything, so probably no program tomorrow evening. And I got to tell you, you know, these days begin at 5:30, you know, a.m. And I would guess, I haven't checked on the phone, but I would guess that Bo and I in the course of the past week have been walking a couple of miles a day. And the torture devices, otherwise known as my shoes, well, my feet have experienced every blessed inch of those miles. Let's see, what's going on here? Check in with Twitter. Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah, so thanks to Jack in Shreveport. You're absolutely right. And we'll get to that because it is more in Monday. And they're not hard to find around here. Especially, well, particularly, almost exclusively, if you're looking in the Republican Party, because it's part of the job description. So yeah, we'll take a run at that. I had a neat one of the nice things is you do in this kind of work, one does occasionally have some interactions. Oh, Barkway says, "I just tuned in late. Where's Bob going?" Home, Barkway, home. And God, I can't wait. I miss Agnes like the devil misses sin. And so I'm leaving here, the D.C. area, and going home on Wednesday, Barkway. Okay, so it's not just me. Bill in the chat room says the pollen's driving him crazy too. It's grabbed Bo's, and the car's turned green. It's a black car and it's green. Doodle just told me that she's watching live from New Mexico. Hi, Doodly. I won't embarrass her with any other. No. But every now and then you have these little pleasant little interactions with strangers. Excuse me. Yawning. Great. That makes for great video, doesn't it? I know, quit talking about the video on the radio, Bob. So today I was going into the Hart Senate office building, and two young men were standing, the line was long to get in, and two young men were standing behind me. And you know me, if you listen to this program, I love to talk to people and find out, you know, what their story is, who they are, what motivates them. And I looked at these gentlemen and I said, "So what are y'all working on here today?" And the one of them looked at me and said, one word, Palestine. And I just, I felt something go through me. And I looked at me, I looked right back at him and I said, "Well, I want you both to know that I stand with you and your cause. Because it's true." And I went on to explain, and because they said, "What do you do?" And I told them I was from West Virginia. And I told them that, and you've heard me remark this as well, I told them that the people in Central Appalachia's mountaintop removal zone, by my reckoning, have more in common with the Palestinian people than we do with someone in Germany or France or Australia or Japan or any prosperous industrialized nation. And they sort of gave me a look like, you know, okay, so nobody has ever said that to us before? And I explained about the 3 million pounds of ammonium nitrate fuel oil explosives. I explained about the 500 flattened mountains. I explained about the 3,000 or so miles of stream that have been buried, the million acres that have been reduced to moonscape rubble that will not be a part of a meaningful ecology for at least 300,000 years. And then I explained about the cancer and the heart disease and the lung disease and the birth defects. And then I explained about the more than 900 people who die every year in our counties here. I explained how a man born in McDowell County, West Virginia, has a lower life expectancy than a man born in Guatemala. And they were stunned. The one fellow repeatedly said, "I cannot believe that this is allowed to happen in the United States. I cannot believe that the United States would let this be done to its own people. What kind of country does that?" And I said, "Well, a country that pays more attention to coal companies than it does to suffering, struggling humanity that has to try to live with those coal companies." And it was a beautiful moment because he was so shocked. He looked at me and said, I'm going to tell our group about this and about you and about what I heard today. And perhaps we can reach out and work together. And those moments are pure gold. Because in those moments you realize that ally building and alliance building are the future hope of the world. So that happened today. That's real weird. Asa, if you're listening, can you check in on this? Our buddy Texas T just told me, Bob, do you know since you left, your show is being over-miked by another show on TuneIn? I get it whether I go through FYI Nation or your head-on podcast. It only goes away when I go directly from the head-on page. And I'm tired, and I'm not quite exactly sure what that means, but hopefully maybe Asa can come up with an answer to that. Thank you for letting me know, Texas T. Thank you very much indeed. I got so much stuff on this table that I'm actually having to check email on my doggone phone. So we're good there. And again, if you want to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, just be ready to roll here about 07 or so. Hey, there's Andy in the chat room. Welcome, Andy. What's that, Irish Dave? One wonders, mountaintop removal in the Golan Heights. Well, they both had some high explosives land on them, haven't they? Yeah, and one of the things that grabbed those guys is when I explained to them that a single blast on a mountaintop removal site can be the equivalent explosive force of 25 cruise missiles landing at the same time. And again, back to that common experience, a Palestinian person can probably understand that better than anyone else on earth, except maybe Iraqis in Baghdad. Or maybe some folks at a village wedding in Afghanistan. Yeah. And a reminder, what was the reminder going to be? Oh, yeah, we have the for this. We've got all of our connectivity that we would have in the studio, because if you can't connect by Skype, you are more than welcome to connect via the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844, the horn. Mm-hmm. So that's available. I'll be honest, I'm wondering if I've got enough gas to get me 3 hours here, because I'm ground down to a freaking nub. But let's check around. Let's see what the Morans are up to, because they're always up to something. Jack mentioned this early on, and yeah, it was on the It's on the radar. What Jack tweeted a little bit ago. No, okay. I got a more in for us, yeah. This particular, and he's been a more in before, so it's not like it's new to him. We're talking, of course, about Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, the wrong kind of John Kennedy, the Republican kind. So he showed up on CNN, John Kennedy did, to talk Mueller report. Okay, sorry, I'm still working a tech issue here. What's that, Ron? FYI is over-miking. I'm thinking that may be a slight streaming problem with Thomas. Tune in head-on link is working for me. Thank you, Ron. That explains it. Well, thanks, Texas T. Don't kill yourself. You've done a great job. Besides, I haven't heard Vivaldi for a while. Oh, that stings. That stings. Anyway, John Kennedy was interviewed on CNN about the Barr report. And now, I guess one of the excuses being proffered by these good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals is that, well, if and we was to release the Mueller report, somebody might get killed. I wish I was kidding, but Kennedy told Manu Raju of CNN. I don't want to get anybody killed by violating national security concerns. You understand? But that wasn't enough. No. Because, well, stupid always has something else to say. In this case, having said all of that, I think Bill Barr is a straight shooter. The goddess of irony probably made him use that. I guess he's straight, and he's a Republican, so he does probably have guns, so that makes him a straight shooter in the purest sense of the word. But what he meant by that is that he thinks he is an honest man, and if that's the case, then I would like to get together with Senator Kennedy, because I own this lovely antique bridge in Brooklyn. And I'd like to talk to him about him maybe taking it off my hands for cheap. Yeah, let it go for a couple of million. Because he thinks Bill Barr is an honest man. And he continued, I think Bill Barr is a straight shooter. And even if you don't agree with that assessment, he's certainly not a moron. Well, one presumes he got through law school. I mean, he had to have. He's probably old enough that he never had to take a bar exam. He's been Attorney General of the United States before, back when he was pulling George H.W. Bush's chestnuts out of the fire. And covering up the manifest evils of the cover-up of Iran-Contra. But honest to Jesus, it's like something I tweeted. I said, Barr is not a moron. That's a bar so low that a piss ant could jump over it and never even have to bend his little piss ant legs. Kennedy went on and said, I mean, he's going to release as much of the report as he possibly can. possibly, and can, are doing an absolute shit ton of heavy lifting there. Yeah. So it remains to be seen what will come of all that. But God, there is so, there's such a, I don't like using terms like Stalinist purge. But if you look, and wait, okay, before I'm accused of getting all misty-eyed and being a neoliberal establishment shill, goddamn it, Bob. Let me say by way of caveat that I bear no great love or respect for Kirstjen Nielsen. She's a toady and a lickspittle, incompetent at her job. But it's weird and discomforting at the to say the very least that Donald Trump, at the behest of that little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby, Stephen Miller, whom I'm convinced lost his hair back in high school from the repeated swirlies he was probably given. Miller is basically running a Stalinist purge through DHS. Nielsen, for as evil as she is, told Trump that she didn't want to put children in cages anymore. Because Trump had told her he thought it was a political advantage for him to use as leverage with the Democrats. Yeah, really, use concentration camp children as leverage to get your political way. That's where we are. And she said no, so she got canned. The next one was actually more shocking, though, when you get right down to it. And that was the purging of the head of the Secret Service. Because those guys are supposed to be apolitical. They never are. Remember, back at the beginning of the Obama presidency when a couple of Secret Service officers got sacked because it turned out they'd been sending racist jokes around to each other via email? Yeah, I do. I know you do too. But generally speaking, the Secret Service has one job. Don't let the president get killed. Absorb bullets if need be. But he got purged too, because he was deemed insufficiently fascist. That's what it boils down to. Yeah. Stephen Miller found him to not be a big enough, vicious enough asshole. And it's kind of scary. It's a lot scary. Yeah. Just checking in with Sparky. But it was like waking up to news of some sort of bizarre governmental action in a country that was definitely not this one. Faith over on Facebook just said, the moment they start hiring unemployed Trump voters to do Homeland Security is the moment I leave this country. Oh, I understand. Oh, and that's another weird, so fun things I've done in Washington. This morning, okay, so here's how it played out. The last person to wear my good dress shoes was not me. It was, in fact, a young guy who looks like a lot younger version of me, answers to the same name, and needed my dress shoes for something because he couldn't find his. Well, they came back a little muddy. And they came here a little muddy. So today, knowing that there was a shoeshine bench in Union Station, I wore them, and we went early enough that I could stop and get a shoeshine. So I'm standing there, and the guy's doing my shine. Hey, we were having a great conversation. When another guy walks over and he's got a shirt that says something about Union Station Amtrak Security Canine Trainer. So this guy actually teaches canines and their handlers how to do the stuff that canine search groups or canine search dogs how to do what they do. And I was sitting there and I'd been watching. He's doing a kick-ass job on my shoes. Really, I mean, knew his shoes. He was an expert. And we had been talking about shoeshine guys who will have little gimmicks, like the one I got one time from a guy who set the tips of my shoes on fire with some bullshit about how it would set the color or something crazy. And he said, yeah, that's a line of bullshit. But about that time, this guy with the shirt and the canine and the Amtrak security and comes up and he's got a box. And I watch him take two cylindrical objects, wrapped them in cloth, and he was carrying on a conversation with the shoeshine guy and pulled out one of the drawers in the shoeshine cabinet, which was, you know, under me, and put these two cylinders in the drawer and slid the drawer closed. And I heard him say something about how, you know, best not have any open flames around here, because maybe he'd heard the part about the burning the shoes, and the shoeshine guy had talked about how some guys will use like a blowtorch. And so the guy that was doing my shoes says, nope, no open flame. I got a Bic lighter, but I will not use it. He said, good. And he said, see ya. And the guy with the canine that was, see ya, and walks away. And I had an idea what I had just seen happened, but I didn't want to think it was what I thought it was. But the shoeshine guy quickly disabused me of any notion that it wasn't. Because he said, yeah, what he said about open flames, yeah, don't. Because you're sitting on two sticks of C4 right now. Yeah. And he said, you know, that guy trains the new dogs. And they have to plant the stuff for the dog to find. And there's no such thing as, like, imitation dummy C4. So later that day, the handler with the new dog being trained would be, you know, walking with the dog, and the dog's in it. And the dog would be supposed to catch the scent and alert on those two sticks of fucking dynamite that were under my ass. And, you know, yeah, I want people who are good at doing that. But at the same token, even though I come from a place where they use, you know, 3 million pounds of ammonium nitrate fuel oil explosives a day, there's something rather disconcerting about sitting on top of, suddenly I kind of knew how Wile E. Coyote feels, you know? Okay, so this is real weird. There, it's cleared up. Have you ever sat on with a couple of sticks of dynamite under you? Not me either. It was not an inspiring feeling, to say the least. Yeah, let me check something here. Just waiting to hear from Sparky as to whether we can go to the group yet or not. Okay, yeah, we're good. So let's go over. And let me make sure what a. Okay. Make sure. I think somebody's on the stress line too. Well, they were, but they aren't now. Okay, so let's. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How are you? I'm worn out.
I wasn't ready for that because I just got back from town and I was doing some stuff. Somebody else started a call. I think it was Tracy.
Oh well. But we're are we good to go now?
Yeah, we're good. I just haven't changed my clothes yet.
Well, that makes two of us. I'm sitting here in an untied bow tie and a dress shirt and my suit, so I guess we'll both be moderately uncomfortable for a little bit.
Well, I just got my going-to-town clothes on, so I just want to get in my relaxing clothes.
Believe you me, I want to get in my relaxing clothes, too. It was 80, you know, this is the second week in April. It was 80 freaking degrees in D.C. today, and the humidity was about a billion.
Oh, come on.
It goes with it. What do you mean, oh, come on? It was 80 degrees.
There's no way it could be a billion humidity.
Poetic license. But it was like walking through Jell-O that's been left out to come to room temperature. Oh, it was icky. And then finally, toward the end of the afternoon, the water started falling out of the air. It had to happen. It was gonna happen. And so there I am walking around in a navy blue tropical weight wool suit. Yeah, I get wanting to put the comfy clothes on. So I'm right there with you.
Well, trust me, growing up in Balmer, it can't get to be a billion degrees humidity. I can say that for a fact, man. God damn, that place gets humid.
Oh, it's just. But the thing is, if it's like this in April.
Oh man, try a nice August night.
It's gonna be like the surface of the sun in July.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know what you're saying, man. Bob, I grew up there, and it's probably only gotten worse.
It's only going to get worse.
I just want a day with blue skies.
Yeah.
Are you still getting...
Looking at gray clouds.
May I ask, how's my buddy Duncan done? I hadn't talked to him in a long, long time.
Well, I'm doing okay. We had a mini family meeting on John's site on Friday to make up for this, but I guess you weren't around because you didn't answer me. But Rick joined me. No,
Friday I went bowling. I bowled two turkeys and won a really nice popcorn lamp.
Nice.
Yeah. Novelty lamp. Yeah, it looked great at 80 bar. Brother Bob,
well, maybe it'll go good with my man cave sign.
Well, I've got enough to get you another one. Do you want one?
No, I'm still kidding.
So, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Brother Rick, what's going on, man?
So I'm doing great, man. So you bowled two turkeys, like two bad games, you mean, or what?
No, two turkeys, that's six strikes in a row.
Oh, nice.
I kicked ass, that's why I won the prize, you know?
Nice.
Nice indeed.
Yeah. Steve is to bowling what you are to pool.
Yeah. Well, I just found that because I beat a level 5 player last week, 3-1, and I was a level 4 player, I'm now a level 5. Which isn't so good for our team because you have to, you have to have 5 players.
I have never bowled a perfect game. I've been so close to.
Yeah.
So I was just 3 frames away the other night, but it seems like the pressure comes in, it just never plays out.
Well,
you get a perfect game, man.
You can't think about it, Steve. You just got to do it. Just pretend it's just like a regular ball that you're rolling, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Brother Bob, you sound just whooped, man.
Oh, I am. And like I said, the pollen is slaying me.
Yeah,
and honest to God, I may not last very long. But
no,
I wanted to.
No, man, we'll check out when you can. It was great to hear from you, but man, when
all right, you know, and I've missed all of y'all like crazy. Let me check in here and make sure. By the way, God bless Ilhan Omar. Stephen Miller is a white nationalist who should not be in the White House.
He's
damn
a little cockroach. That's what he is. He's a little cockroach. But he's in charge, Bob. He's in charge.
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't that some shit?
And some creepy as hell shit, John. Let's just go around the room. Are you there, Tracy?
I am.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that we didn't just blow past or anything like that.
Well, I wasn't expecting to hear from you tonight because I know you had you were going to have a rough day today, and I was kind of scared because the last text I heard from you was, you were in Manchin's office. I'm like, holy shit, did he get out of Manchin's office? You know,
yeah, and see,
am I going to have to send bail money? What?
Well, and you know, I'm still waiting till after the program so I can go and shower with bleach.
It was so funny when you said that because I was, you know, we talked last night about, you know, that's the long ass conversation. It's probably one of the best conversations I've ever had with you because it was just us. And, you know, I was talking about because I went and saw Aretha Franklin's movie Amazing Grace yesterday.
Yes.
And there was a couple of songs that I wanted to send to you. That you can listen to fortify yourself, to get ready, you know, for what you're going to have to do for the next day or so. And one of them is called Holy Holy, and it was written by Marvin Gaye. I actually had totally forgotten that he had sung the song first, and then Aretha sang it. And then she did this other song, a combination Precious Lord, Take My Hand, and You Got a Friend.
Oh, neat.
She starts off singing You Got a Friend, you know, Carole King, James Taylor song, and then eases into Precious Lord, Take My Hand. holy shit. I mean, it was just, watching that movie yesterday, it revived my aching soul because of everything that has been going on in this world and in this country, and forgetting, missing my roots in the Black church and stuff like that. I mean, toxicity aside, but just that music, that could move mountains and stuff like that. It was just, oh my God. So anyway, that's enough for me. Go ahead on with everybody else.
So we bet, like I said, I'd love to see an LA driver like you come and experience the manifest joys of DC traffic. It's just a delight.
I've driven in DC, but it's only on the weekend. But I have also experienced the hell that is Atlanta traffic.
If you've done DC, Atlanta, LA, and Boston, you've completed the Quinella traffic hell. So one more, you go up and do Boston and you've got your badge, Tracy.
I got my badge. Like I said, I've driven in DC, I've driven in Atlanta, and see, as bad as traffic is in LA, and Rick can attest to this, at least we have, we have the expansive freeways. Because that's one of the things that kills you in Atlanta is the fact that it's all highways, it's all streets, and a shit ton of stop signs, it's my brother. He's so happy with his new job that he gets to telecommute. Like, I think he's off on Fridays, and I think he pretty much telecommutes now. At least 2 days a week. I think he only has to really seriously go to the office maybe one day a week now. Because he lives in Ackworth, Georgia. Steve, do you know where Ackworth is?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I used to live in a town called Woodstock.
Right.
Not far from Ackworth,
So my brother lives, and his family, they live in Ackworth. And so he used to have to make that drive every day into the city. So that's terrifying.
He going up 575. That's not a fun ride. There is no fun ride into downtown.
No. Hey Rick, have you sorted out your car issues? Did you get everything adjusted and all that stuff?
No, unfortunately not, Bob. They're still trying to lowball me. They're trying to pay me about $1,000 less than what the car was actually worth, in my opinion. And I haven't gotten a new car yet. I'm renting a car now, so that's my situation. I'm going to be ending up underwater probably at least $4,000 as far as the loan goes. So I'm going to have to try and get fully compensated through the other driver's insurance company and/or the other driver.
Shit! Wowzer! Slow down, man. I was shut down today. I had no internet. Some hee-haw. I get there's a lot of building going on around here, cut to a fiber optics cable.
Yahoo with a ditch witch.
Yeah. So that shut me down. That happened like 9 this morning. It just came back right before showtime. So let me look into this, Rick. Slow down, man.
Have you? Okay. Hey, Rick, did you go out and have a look at that Hyundai Ioniq?
Not yet, no. No, I haven't really looked at a lot of cars. The only thing I've driven is a Bolt, which the lovely Star did not like because she didn't feel it was big enough.
Yeah, they are kind of tiny. It's worth going and looking at. And then later this year, the Hyundai Kona all electric comes out, and that's going to be awesome. It's going to have it's a 245 mile range with a lifetime warranted lithium ion battery and a 100,000 mile warranty on the car itself.
That's good.
Kind of hard to argue with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Chad and I are thinking about biting the bullet at the end of the year and buying a car. My car is I basically drive the cab. I have a Pontiac, a 2009 Pontiac Grand Am, I think it is. You know how many? I have like 80,000 miles on it. That's just how often I drive it.
Wow.
And since Jan works from home, her car is, she has a Ford Explorer, and her car is about as old as mine. So she has less than 100,000 miles on her car. It's because we're basically the perfect people for a lease. And so she's going to keep her car because if we do get a car, she won't be allowed to smoke in the bitch.
And So
we're going to keep her car, but we're seriously considering buying a car at the end of the year.
Well, look, hey, Tracy, when the Kona is a small SUV, but when it comes out, it's a cute little SUV, but 240 miles on a charge? Sure.
That sounds pretty good, Bob. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Because I want an electric car. I want an electric car or a hybrid to reduce my carbon footprint.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Kona will be all electric, but the little Hyundai Ioniq comes in a plug-in hybrid configuration as well.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, I had a note from... had a note from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, every damn day. Good to hear your voice. Today, Mike Pompeo, he was first in his class at West Point, you know. It just kills me. Announced that he and Cheeto Jesus had named the Republican Guard of Iran a foreign terrorist organization. These bastards are not going to be satisfied until they're slinging lead in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. Israeli vote is tomorrow. Keep your fingers crossed that the rank and file in Israel have come to their senses. Fingers and toes both. But yeah, they want to get their war on. And see, here's the thing. The Revolutionary Guard in Iran is the actual military of the nation of Iran. This imposes no further sanctions on Iran. It does them no. All it does is make it more likely that, as Ron and Raleigh puts it, we're going to start slinging lead. And that's some scary shit. Because the more Julius Geezer finds himself in a corner, the more likely he is to try to bomb his way out of it.
He has several options.
Any of them good, John?
No, not a damn one of them, baby. No. If he gets his ass in a sling, we can't put it past him to start wagging the dog. He'll Venezuela, you could get tangled up real easy there. You know, Iran, shit, yeah. He's got hard on for them ever since he started this shit.
Hey, how about we start two wars at the same time on top of the one we've already still got going on? You know, if a fellow was trying to ruin this country, he could probably destroy the military pretty quick that way, couldn't he?
But you got Russia and you got China both dipping their toe down there.
And we need another tax cut to go along with the two wars, Bob. Don't forget that. Yeah.
There's money to be made in wars.
Like George W. Bush did.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, cutting taxes in a time of war. Go wrong with that, right?
Not a thing. You can put that on a credit card. Let the next president deal
with it. Wall Street's going to love it. Wall Street's going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Uncle John.
Hello, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, brother? Nice to hear your voice, as always, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
It is good to hear all y'all's voices, let me tell you.
Really? Well, let me tell you something, Bob. I just want to say I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to be associated with you. Your work up there in Washington, D.C., I saw some of the pictures up there, and I spread that word as much as I could. But, buddy, I just want you to know that getting out there, it's one thing to talk, but you're getting out there walking it, buddy. So, hoorah for you.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much. And I
appreciate the work you do.
I hope tomorrow you can watch the hearing, if you've got time. Yeah. It'll be 1 o'clock your time. But if you go over to the House of Representatives Natural Resources Committee, they'll have a video link and they'll run it live, and then you can watch it later if you want to. Heck, you could probably even play clips of it if you want to talk about it on your own program.
Okay.
Bob, I don't want to overstep, but how are you on fundraising? Now, if you want to just keep that out of the show tonight, that's cool.
It's never a bad idea. But we're thanks to an anonymous person and Shirley's challenge and the people who responded to it and our buddy John who finished it off. I think we're actually kind of current.
That's awesome, Bob.
But that's as of today, and I mean,
you just made my day, brother. You really did.
I think we are, and I've got a lot of thank yous to share when I get back in the home studio.
Double check that when you get back home. Let us know, okay?
Yeah, I mean, by the time I'm on the air again. Assuming I'm not on the air tomorrow night, by the time I'm on the air again, we'll be back to having to do the $200 a night.
Yeah. Well, just take it easy tonight, tomorrow, man. Give yourself a break.
I can hear it in your voice a little bit.
John, I am. I think Bo's already gone to sleep, or maybe he's just hanging out in his bedroom, but. I am wore.
Well, your throat might be sore, your voice might be gone, but proud of every word you spoke, buddy.
Well, I thank you so much.
That's something, Bob, to be involved in actual legislation. I mean, you know, getting up there, knocking on doors, Congress. Hell yes. That's what it takes. Bob, that's what we talk about all the time, baby.
Yes, Marky.
You're out doing it.
My congressman's not on that committee anymore. He used to be.
No, I looked on there. I've walked past his office a couple of times and given him the stink eye.
Right. I was hoping you'd give him the stink eye right to his eyes, but eyeballs. But he's not on that committee anymore.
They mostly hide. I did meet. I did meet one brand new congressman. Guy from Minnesota was standing there, and I got to ask him directly to sign on. What was his name? Dean Phillips up in Minnesota.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you hit the span in any way, Bob? Or
hit the what?
The C-span. Did you make it on there?
No. I never got any contact from him.
God damn it.
Ruined your day. Went from high to a low right there, Steve. Damn.
No, well, it's so cool. The fact that he's out there, man.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
I would just like to see Bob on the TV. That's where he belongs, man.
I know. Bob looks pretty on pictures, man. Whole lot prettier than me, Bob.
Oh, shucks, John.
Yeah, buddy, you're making me look like a butt fence out here.
Well, I had to go yesterday and get a shave and a haircut so that I would be reasonably, I don't know.
Groomed.
Yeah, groomed for the thing on Tuesday. I hated cutting. I hated getting my long hair cut. But I gotta admit, if my hair had been still the way it was today as it was last week, I'd have been dripping like a mule in the rain.
And image is everything, bro. Especially. Yeah. Yeah, man. You did the right thing, man. Did the right thing.
I wish I could shave.
Well, you can someday.
I got to wait. Yeah, someday I'll be able to shave. I'm looking forward.
Preferably, I mean, January 20th, 2021.
Yeah, I'm going to see what 4 years of
and you may have to like by that. Then. By then, you may have to use a brush hog to shave.
Yeah, when it comes off, we're gonna go into Corpus and try to find a nice barbershop that has Wi-Fi that we can connect to and then just do it live.
Beautiful, and you know what, John? We got something else we got to do when I get home.
Cook.
It's Suman's curry time.
All right, let me know when you get home.
So I'm gonna gather all the stuff together. Make sure.
You ever dared him? Tied around it. God.
Hell,
man.
I dared him, baby. I made that rear bumper. It was made out of 6-inch chromoloy. Go ahead and hit the shit out of it all you want, baby. I guarantee you, I'm coming out without a scratch.
Well, we crashed for a moment there, so I had to.
Oh, Bob, you made it back.
Hey,
Hey, yeah. Bob, I had a question pending while you were away.
Yes.
What do you do on the weekends when you're in D.C.? I'm sure there's lots of advanced work that you do that.
Well, Saturday, it was real pretty.
Yeah.
So Saturday we went and Bo is quite a good painter. And he had never been to the National Gallery.
Oh.
So we went to the National Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And spent the afternoon looking at paintings and more or less came home and watched the final four. Then yesterday was some errand running.
Okay.
I'd like to say that, but there's a ton to do here, and that's one of the nice things about D.C. is you've got all the Smithsonian museums, and every last one of them is free.
Yeah.
They're all free.
You need to plan time go there. If you're going there on vacation, plan a lot of time because it takes a lot to see that. Mm-hmm. And all of it's worth seeing.
You got Abe Lincoln and, you know, Mary Surratt's house. If you got time to do all this, you know, it'll blow you away.
Oh,
man.
I stop and read every sign.
I do too. Absolutely.
And so one of the buildings we've been taking the most meetings in is the Cannon House office building. Somebody's Congressional Hotel, with somebody's name, Congressional Hotel, stood on that site until it was demolished to make way for the Cannon building. But most people, I mean, when Washington, D.C. was getting started, it was a nasty place.
It was a swamp.
And I don't know how you'd feel about it, but congressmen, when they were here in session, there was nowhere for them to live. And so they would literally sleep three and four guys to a bed.
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
And you know what? That may be, for all I know, John, that's where that saying comes from.
It came from.
That works for me, yeah.
Get thou assed over.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob, hey, are the cherry trees budding yet? Or
The cherry trees are in full riot.
No wonder your allergies are getting you. But the view is great, Dave.
Oh, they're beautiful along the tidal basin,
my gosh, man.
And even up on the hill, they're just magnificent.
The way they reflect off the Monument Pond and everything, man, it will. It'll cheer you up. It really will.
They're so lovely. Oh, by the way, I had a note from Ron in Raleigh. One more thing. I would like for all the Horn Family Community Congregation members to please root for my Wahoos this evening in tonight's NCAA basketball tournament. He adds, I will forgive Uncle John since the other team is Texas Tech, so it's okay if he doesn't, but go Hoos.
I'm there, baby. I'm there.
And I don't have any problem. I got no problem.
I appreciate
I got no problem rooting for UVA because, after all, it was a very bad year for West Virginia in the Big 12, and Texas Tech beat them like they owed them money.
Hey, speaking of NCAA, I actually was the co-winner of a bracket contest at my local bar.
Oh, cool.
there you go.
So, I tied for first with a guy named Edward, and so I get to come in for my free drink whenever. So
there you go, buddy. Nothing like winning it in your home bar.
Yeah, yeah, that's
where I play eight balls. Everybody knows your name. Who won, Rick?
There you go. Asshole. That's my eight ball
again.
My eight ball home. Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So anybody want to hear about some concerts?
Sure.
I saw Alan Parsons Project on Thursday night. Tremendous. Tremendous. Great singing, great musicianship. He got a 35-year, he got a Grammy Award for Eye in the Sky 35 years after the fact. It was presented to him on the stage by someone. I don't know who he was with, but, you know, actually he held up a Grammy. It was pretty cool. And yeah, just really, really good stuff. It was I was sitting in the sixth row, in the orchestra, right in the center.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was the concert, Rick?
It was at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I've never been there, but I heard it's a nice venue.
It's beautiful. I saw Rick Springfield the previous Saturday there.
Right.
So, and then I went to a country music festival this past Saturday down on Huntington Beach. You at the beach, I saw Tim McGraw play. He was the headliner. And then another guy, Jake Owen, I saw him.
Oh, wow.
And there were like three other acts that we missed because we like were lollygagging around and weren't very time efficient, you know? So it happens.
I tell you what, if you guys, can you guys carry the conversation for a couple of minutes? I've got to step off, step away from the screen for a minute. So, you know.
Sure.
Take it away.
Sure.
I'll be back.
Damn, Rick, another concert, buddy. I'm just really... I'm telling you, I like your choice of where what you do in your off time.
You know, well, thanks, John. Thanks.
That's a lot of entertainment. I mean, you know,
I'm gonna have to fix that limousine up to give you rides around concerts, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Fix that damn thing up.
Maybe Tracy has an in on somebody who has a limousine I can buy. You know,
if you know what the people that Jan deals with. A lot of them are subcontractors for the company, and they're TCP drivers. So I know if you actually seriously want to get a limousine, not me, but Jan could tell you where to go. Hey, so who heard about the idiot that was trying to poach, you know, the poacher that got trampled by elephants and then eaten by lions?
Karma, baby, karma. I love
that shit. Karma is a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker. Damn. I mean, stomped his ass and then ate him.
His ass to the ground. And to add insult to fucking injury, then he winds up being eaten by lions. The only thing that was left of his ass was some torn up pants and a skull. That was it.
His pants and a skull.
Have you guys seen that picture of the elephant carrying a baby lion with the mother lion walking next to it? Go to water?
No.
Oh man,
I saw that the other day on the internet, and I went, "Wow!"
Ain't that?
I mean, when I first heard it, I thought it was I thought it was something from like The Onion or something, right? And I'm like, "Holy shit, this really happened!" Because
I saw it on CNN. I went, "What? No shit!"
I was like, "Yeah, I saw it on the local ABC affiliate out here," and I'm like, "Holy shit!" and then on top of that, they caught the other guys that he was poaching with.
Yeah, I don't wish anybody dead, but that story put a smile on my face.
I'm with you, John. I don't wish anybody dead. I don't wish anybody
but
dead.
But you put yourself out there.
You were trying to take you were trying to kill an endangered species for its horns, Yeah. So fuck you.
I got a T-shirt, Tracy, that says there's a trophy on one side, you know, one of them cups on a little stand, and on the other side was an elephant. And there's two signs up there. It says, this is a trophy, and over the elephant, this is not a trophy. You know, it's a freaking elephant, you asshole.
Right.
You know, it's too bad that Uday and Kuse weren't the ones eaten and stomped.
Dude, I was thinking about that.
By the lions and the elephant.
Why wasn't it them, you know, or that other asshole? Wasn't he from SoCal, Rick, the one that killed that lion on a nature?
No, I think he was up in the Midwest somewhere, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think he was.
It was a dentist from Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. Something like that. Yeah.
Which
sounds right.
Well, live in infamy.
Kind of suffered after he was outed as the as a trophy hunter, and he kind of went underground for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were picketing his office. I mean,
oh, yeah.
he was getting death threats. It was not pretty.
No, people don't like that shit. It's one
thing when you're killing an animal and you're using it to eat it, but for fucking sport.
Yeah, I used to hunt when I was younger. I don't anymore just because I lost the taste for it. Besides that, if I want any venison, I have friends I could get it from. It's not that what I hate is to find a deer out in the woods that got the horn rack cut off, and that's it. There you go. You left the whole carcass there. That's all you wanted was a freaking set of horns, you asshole. Jeez. You know, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, that, and plus the way they hunt down here and down in South Texas, not hunting, baby. It's just baiting. You might as well go fishing. Yeah.
What I hate, Uncle John, is when I look down, like, for deer hunting, and I see this beautiful creature that I killed, and it's looking back at me. You know, I'm like, man, what am I doing? This
you, is just wrong. You shot Bambi's mother.
Really, you know, it's, I keep saying, you'll probably get
25 years ago, and I haven't shot anything since, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a deer trying to attack me, or a, you know, any right. I haven't seen any of them trying to attack me, so they're safe in my book.
Well, it's like my sister, her husband, the Trump supporter, is a hunter. But when they hunt, he uses a bow and arrow, crossbow, or whatever, and they use the entire animal. He doesn't hunt for just, you know, sport. But he has, now she's hunting.
I can understand him. I have a black powder.
And she shot, a 12-point buck?
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice size deer.
Took it out. And I'm like, holy shit. I mean, and there's a picture it's a gorgeous picture of her. It freaks me out, though, with her holding her shotgun or whatever, and, you know, with the buck. And he's like, I want to send that picture into Cabela's. I said, you will not. See, this is the difference. This is when white people get stupid and not understanding. I'm like, you will not send a picture of my black sister to a magazine with people who do not like black people. Not that all people that shop that subscribe to, you know, that shop at Cabela's are
they're not all racist. But there's a percentage of them. But just like anywhere else in society, there's
enough of a percentage of them that if they saw her picture in that magazine or something, there would be problems.
Oh, somebody would already.
Well, there are some good people that subscribe to that magazine, though, Tracy. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is there's just enough people that are a part of that community that if they saw my sister, a black woman with a gun, there would be problems.
Well, for some of them, there would be, yeah.
And again, I don't care. It only takes one. Look what's happening with Ilhan and Omar. It only takes one, you guys.
Yeah.
See, this.
Yeah, and by the way,
And by the way, just so folks will know, we had a magnificent meeting with Ilhan Omar's staff.
Outstanding.
Great.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's great, Bob.
She was on, you guys remember, I think I told you guys about this docuseries that's on BET talking about finding justice. And last night episode was about police brutality, specifically in the Twin Cities. And of course, guess who they had on there speaking on that documentary? Ilhan Omar. I'm talking about, you know, police murdering, you know. Because there was this one guy that was killed, Jamar. Again, there's so many of them. He was killed by the cops, and then it was eight months before, you know, Philandro Castile was murdered. So it's like within 8 months they had killed two black men, just, you know, for being black. So, but she was on there talking about police brutality. That, again, I'm shocked at the quality of this docuseries because, you know, BET. So why would I, you know, think otherwise? Because, you know, basically the only thing I ever think about on BET is, you know, twerking. I'm talking about my own folks.
That's all right. There's a lot of twerking going on nowadays.
How did your meeting go with what's his name today? Did you actually meet with his staff?
Yeah, staff. Staff. He bailed. He was supposed to show up in person, but
punk ass motherfucker.
Yeah, had to. Yeah, yeah.
Previous engagement.
We had stuff to legitimately talk about. But.
Well, getting to the staff is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
and when you do this, that's mostly what you do. A member of Congress or a senator will have a specific member of staff who handles environmental issues.
right,
or health issues. You know, we prefer to try to discuss this as a matter of human health, because it is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, and I wanted to share something with y'all. I posted a picture on Facebook a couple of mornings ago. The yard where we are is just full of these little tiny yellow wildflowers.
I saw that, Bob.
And they're just adorable, because the stalks are about maybe 3 inches tall and about as big around as a third of a toothpick.
Isn't it nice when you stop and notice that shit?
I try to make myself do that.
Dang, good.
And they're so neat because they open up to the sun, and they look like little tiny yellow daisies, but they're not. I think they're Potentilla pneumonilla is what I think they're called. Mm. And they open to the sun, but in the evening, they close up again and go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
And so
Mother Nature, baby. Yeah, Mother Nature.
I walked out there. This is just because I'm weird. But I walked there.
Oh, know that, Bob.
Yeah, I know. So I walked
we
out.
We accept you, though.
I walked out there. You know, y'all accept me as I am, and I appreciate that. So I walked out there yesterday morning, and they hadn't opened back up yet, but there were a couple that were still open. And so I sat down there next to them, and I leaned over to the one that was still open, and I said, "There's always one of y'all, aren't there?"
Shit. There you go.
There's somebody, you're just having such a good time that you feel like the party's never going to end, and you just have to stay up and party all night long. And this one, it was like still open, but it was laying over on the ground. And I'm like, and look at you now. Are you proud of yourself?
Your body's going to wake up.
And then I said,
like how you were feeling, Bob.
And I said, I just want you to know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Just disappointed. Oh, and I bet it sagged just a little bit more.
And then I just reached out.
Bob, quick question. Did you see any pollinating bees? And that's a problem.
Yes, yes. There was. I saw a bee fly. I saw a bee flying among them, but I took my little finger, and I put it under the stem, and lifted it gently up. And when I got it to an upright position, it stood there. And I was like, "Now, who's going to go to bed on time tonight?"
There you go. Have you learned your lesson? Don't do that again.
And so I checked last night, and lo and behold, it went to bed.
There you go. See? You only have to tell them once, Bob.
There's an apple tree not very far from here. Typically, I'm a little apprehensive about walking past it because it's so full of bees. Now, there's no bees there anymore, and I don't know if I should be freaked out or what.
I got lots of bees here, buddy. I got lots of bees.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I might have some coming.
I'm talking
about them flowers. I saw that posting you did.
Pollinating bees, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the most important thing. No bees, no food. It's that simple.
Well, I'll die.
Yeah, yeah, no bees, no food. No apples, no cherries,
none of that shit. Strawberries, bees all over the place out here now.
You got a lot of them, Duncan?
Yeah, all the almond orchards are blooming.
Nice.
Oh, and by the way, I thought of you, Sparky, because I walked into the office of a congressman for part of the Central Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every congressman has, like, little snacks. Some little jar of Lifesavers or something. But this congressman had individual packages of California walnuts and California pistachios.
No almonds?
No almonds. But I loaded my suit jacket pockets.
There you go. There
snacked,
you go.
Snacked on them all day long.
You're caught in those positions where you don't want to be rude, but man, that's good stuff.
Right. There used to be a senator who had from like some dairy state or something, and they had a freezer in their office stocked with ice cream. And you would see staffers from other Senate offices just kind of tiptoeing in and snagging a couple of ice creams and gone. Because these young staffers aren't paid very well, and they're probably rooming with six or seven or eight other people in a rented house somewhere in the district. And so when they see something free, it's like, hey, there's free ice cream at Senator so-and-so's.
Just be casual.
Yeah. Just don't make act it like you're, yeah. Right.
Oh, you have ice cream? Oh, I didn't. Do you mind?
Yeah. You know, you'd be good at this, John.
I can slap, man. Oh, I've been in front of a few generals and a few congressmen, not senators. Down at the base when I worked there, I worked for environmental programs at the base there, and had to give presentations several times to generals and visiting dignitaries and stuff. So, you know, the old dazzle them with brilliance or baffle them with bullshit thing. You know, and stand up there and do the show. No, you want to dazzle them, but yeah, it's not easy to do. Because they're intimidating. Because you know they got the power.
You know. But I got to get out of here, friends. I just didn't want to poof and disappear.
All right, Steve. Good to hear from you. Give my regards to Miss Karen.
She's still working, Brother Bob, but she'll be home shortly. That's why I want to have everything lined out when she gets home. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Good man.
Good man.
Take care, Steve.
See you, Steve.
Take it easy, Bob.
Love you guys.
You too, man.
Later, man. Oh, and speaking of Steve in New York gets it, talking about the little yellow flower. He said it was hungover.
It was.
And it was, both literally and figuratively.
It was literally hung.
Did you have your bell with you, Bob?
Huh?
That same.
Did you have your cowbell with you?
No, I figured.
No.
That would get we're trying this thing that's all the rage now. We didn't have enough money for a hotel, so we're doing an Airbnb. So I didn't figure the cowbell would be a good idea.
How's that working for you, though, the Airbnb?
They might frown on that, Bob.
Yeah.
How's that working for you, Bob?
It's okay. It's somebody's basement.
Uh-huh.
And they're nice people. And it's you know, there's no kitchen or anything, but there's a microwave. It'd be nice if there was a toaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the bed's big old king-size bed, comfortable as can be. All in all, it's a pretty favorable experience. The biggest difference, and this is going to sound like me pissing and moaning, and maybe it is, the aspect of having to battle your way into town and battle your way back out of town takes a lot of energy. And so you wind up being more exhausted when you're out in the burbs than you are if you're in a hotel on Capitol Hill.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
But we didn't, you know, we didn't have anything approaching $300 a night for two rooms for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
That is shit.
I mean, that's $6,000.
That's chump change to somebody who's coming to bribe the president.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the coal industry does this stuff all the time.
Yeah, but not a problem.
Yeah, but not, you know, hillbilly activists.
No.
So,
you're going to have to struggle better.
You know, all told, it's not bad.
You know, there are a lot of good deals on Airbnb. I stayed at one after the ski trip and when we were heading towards Yosemite, because Star had never been to Yosemite before. And so we stayed at a place like maybe an hour outside of the park, and it was really nice. It was in the middle of nowhere near Mariposa, California, in the hills. And it was not easy to find, but it was nice. It was, you know, in someone's home, of course, and you know, he had some rooms made up, and we were lucky because we didn't have to share the bathroom because we were the only ones there that evening, you know. But he has as many as, like, you know, three rooms that he lets each night. And, you know, he had a nice breakfast spread in the morning, and, you know, so it's very, you know, he was very hospitable, and, you know, so it was a good time.
Oh, and I stumbled across a Trader Joe's.
Oh, good.
And I posted that on Facebook as well. I have a fresh stash of yuzu sauce to take home with me.
Ooh.
As well as a big bottle of their green dragon hot sauce.
Oh,
Yeah, I think that's what you were happy about there, Bob, the hot sauce.
Oh, I was.
Did you really stumble across it?
How do you mean?
In a matter of speaking, I suppose.
Or did you know it was there?
No. It was actually the one I'd been to before, but I didn't realize where I was. And we were driving down. We were driving down the road, and I went, "Son of a gun, TJ's," and whipped around the corner and went down, parked, and I mean, I was happy as I could be. And so, you know, I've got my yuzu fix. So that means that Tracy, I wouldn't want Tracy to think that she was, you know, supporting my habit.
Oh, she's been mailing it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Trader Joe's is not a benefit. I mean, I literally live from where I drop off in the morning to my house. I pass at least 4 Trader Joe's.
Wow.
But this, the one Trader Joe's that I went to the other day when I got the hot sauce is in Granada Hills. It's because anybody that knows about Trader Joe's, and I know if Steve goes, I'm not Steve, Rick, it's a clusterfuck. No matter which one you go to, the parking lot is always a clusterfuck. But it just so happens, this one on Balboa, and Balboa and whatever. It actually has a decent-sized parking lot because it's in the middle of a shopping center, but a lot of the stores are closed, so you don't have anybody competing for parking spaces. And it's like you pull in, you park, you get your shit, and you're out. You know, Trader Joe's is a great store once you get in because even if you're doing some major shopping, it doesn't take long to get in and, you know, check out, but it's just getting into the damn parking lot.
The other thing I found, and we've already eaten one, but I'm taking the other one home. They had that awe-inspiring aged Havarti. Nothing like it. Oh my God, it's so good. Because I love Havarti to begin with, but you know how it's kind of semi-soft and kind of squishy.
Squishy and mushy.
Yeah. No, not runny like camembert, but you know it's just got some give to it.
It's soft. It has. But well, it's still good, like you said.
Well, aged Havarti is hard.
Ooh.
And the flavor completely changes. So I was totally stoked for it. I don't know. I may have to go back just to get a couple more pieces of that. Because once it's opened, it'll be gone in 20 minutes. And by the way, this had to happen. You know how it goes. Note coming from Lee in New York. Stop telling the wildflowers what to do, Bob.
Really, Bob? Don't down us out, Bob.
Yeah. And so Lee continues, what part of wildflowers do you not get? If they misbehave, their mother will read them the riot act. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
That's pretty fucking hilarious. Don't
say. Yeah.
I thought you did a very motivational talk to him. I think you did good, Rick.
Well, you know, somebody has to. Oh, by the way, yeah. Note from Steve in New York. Ahead of the curve again. Funny. Suddenly, the speculation about Orange Darwin, who wrote Oranges of the Species. Jesus, that Orange's origins. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Steve says, suddenly... the speculation is that Trump doesn't want his tax returns disclosed because he's afraid we'll find out he's essentially broke. Steve says,
yeah.
Remember, that's we've only been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah.
You've been saying that since Jump Street because if he releases his tax returns, that means we'll see how much money he's actually worth on top of the fraud and the bamboozling. And the other bullshit that's going on with his tax returns, but mostly is because he is not a billionaire. I don't even think to tell you the truth, I don't even think he's a thousandaire.
I think if you walked into a restaurant with him that he didn't own, and you went to pay the check, he'd probably have to get you to pay it for it
on you.
Yeah,
you betcha. Some state up there in New England passed a law.
He would probably steal the tip. from the table from the waitress.
It's a trending thing that if you don't provide your taxes, you can't get on the ballot.
One of Hell Trace, he would probably eat and dash at a restaurant is what he would do.
He would dine and dash.
You know, he was Joe Biden was at the Electrical Workers Construction Maintenance Conference, and old Donnie had to do a tweet about electricians. Voting for him. Well, the IBEW put a statement out about how he stiff contractors all the time.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's who he is.
That's who he is. He's going to stiff us, too, if we let him. He already is. He stiffed us enough.
The only thing that stiffed on Donald Trump, never mind. I'm going to stop right now. Ask Melanoma was stiff on him or was
his,
not. Rather.
His little mushroom, you mean, Tracy?
Mm-hmm. Because that shit ain't, I'm pretty sure it's a limp biscuit.
What Cheech and Chong say? They look whack as pee-pee.
Did we lose something there?
No, I'm here.
Oh. I'm here.
No, I muted her because I thought she was eating chips.
I
wasn't eating chips. I was folding a bag. I would not dare eat chips while I'm talking. Give me a little bit.
Well, you weren't talking, and I heard the bag folding.
I was talking at the same time, love. I would never eat chips, and I apologize if the bag was making noise, but I would never, ever, ever eat chips while I was on the phone.
It sounded like a bag of something.
Right. It was just trash. But anywho, I forgot what I was talking about. Never mind. Forget it.
Happens to me all the time.
Fuck. I hate being old.
Shit. Beats the alternative, though.
You're not to the point where you can hide your own Easter eggs yet, so, you know, you're good.
Yeah. I'm almost there. Shit, where did I put that?
I got a letter in the mail this week for my 50th high school reunion.
Oh, 50th. Doesn't that make you feel good?
You going to go, Sparky?
I know. They didn't have any details to it. It sounds like they're going to just get together during the homecoming football game.
Oh, okay.
I didn't make it. So.
Well, I tell you what, y'all. This has been a delight, and I'm glad we got to get together. My fuel gauge has gone to zero. But it's been a delight, y'all. Thank you so much. And, it perks me way the hell up. And watch that congressional hearing. Even if not live, watch it later. I mean, people who are getting the podcast can watch it later.
Say that again before, because I was taking a note, but I ran out when we finished. Say where I can find that again. The House of Representatives.
House Natural Resources Committee.
I lost you.
House Natural Resources Committee.
I jump in there and see a little bit about it, because I'll be live tomorrow night myself. So,
excellent, wonderful. You were going to say something, Sparky?
Give that Cheney woman a stink eye for me, since LaMotha won't be there.
Oh, believe you me. I mean, yeah.
And if Louis Asparagus Gomert shows up, do it for him too.
Yeah, he's not on that committee. But
according to the website, he is.
Is he? Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
He might not be on the subcommittee, but he's on the whole full committee.
Well, ooh. I'll find some Republican to stink eye, Sparky.
There you go. There's got to be one lurking around somewhere.
Oh, they don't even lurk.
They don't lurk.
They'll probably be in and out if they're even there.
And they're so pissed off and pouty. I mean, they got all these uppity women that's talking back to them.
By the way, one last
Moran nomination. Chris Saliza over at CNN. You know how it is with me and the art of word knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Saliza writes this bullshit article that doesn't even say what it says. He said that Nancy Pelosi had trolled AOC. You know, trying to create some bullshit sense of division where it doesn't exist. But along the way, he described, he said, for those who do not know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is either, is famous or infamous, dot, dot, dot. And I thought, you sorry son of a C-cook.
Are you shitting me?
And so I was thinking about a tweet to maybe send out. Let's see now. FDR described the Pearl Harbor attack, December 7th, as, and I quote, a day that will live in infamy. Chris Saliza at CNN describes AOC as infamous. So that little twerp has essentially compared AOC to fucking Pearl Harbor? Really? Mm-mm. Goddamn, really?
Hey. Form those circular firing squad. A lot of them are out there doing that, Bob.
Oh, Jesus. I'm
showing that shit. Of that same bullshit. When they, somebody chimed in on Biden's ass. Are you shitting me? Let's form the circular firing squad and start shooting now. You know, it's just pitiful. You know, we'll attack, we'll eat our own, some people, some of them. I try to motivate the shit out of them not to do that. Look for what your candidate, you know, tell me what you like in your candidate. Don't tell me what you don't like about mine. And that's what it boiled down to is that there was a conversation going on about it. And it started getting personal about, oh, well, you know, the old people, the boomers, you know, they're not like, well, kiss my ass. We're all blue out here, baby.
But I'll tell you what, there is some seriously snaky shit going on somewhere inside the Democratic Party. The attacks that are being launched against Beto, against Pete Buttigieg, against Biden, you know, and this is not the Joe Biden and Admiration Society, but why do we have to do this nasty shit instead of comparing the relative merits of each candidate?
That's exactly what I'm trying to push on my show, Bob.
Because you know, the other way, John, lies madness. The other way lies 2016, the misadventure continues.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna be part of that shit.
No, I am not either. I think I lost, well, I did, I know I did. My count went down, not very money, but I noticed that when my numbers changed. And that's fine if you're upset because I don't want to play your game of let's stab this one in the back. I don't want the candidate that we pick standing up on the stage to debate Trump, and he's got 1,000 freaking arrows in him from our side. I don't need that shit. Geez. You know?
Yeah. They're
going to try to tag him with everything they can. Did you hear what Pete Buttigieg said to Pence?
No.
No, I don't think it was nose to nose. I think he said it over the. Oh, he said it in a speech. Pete was talking. He said, "If you've got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator." And I thought that was a perfect little slap
on Mike Pence boy to him to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
I like that guy. I like some of the stuff he said.
I do too. He's guy. Rising. He's rising.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have a problem saying, okay, with one exception, and it's a very narrow exception. I don't have a problem saying that I would gladly vote for anyone who's running for president right now.
Anybody on our side beats the shit out of what's sitting in our house.
Right.
You know, it's...
All I'm going to say is I'm going to vote for the nominee come November 2020.
We don't need no split tickets. We don't need none of that crap. You want to move this country forward? So what's your
reservation, Bob? I detect a reservation.
Yeah. What's a reservation?
Well, I don't want to go there because goddamn Bob, neoliberal establishment shit. But there's
a process sort out before you go down to the line.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I don't expect whoever these people are that I have misgivings about are going to be the nominee.
Right. Mm-mm. Right.
Right, so.
No.
So anyway, I'm going to ring off here because I'm zonked.
All right, Bob.
But big doings tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in, being part of the conversation. I'll upload this in a minute. Sorry about the crash earlier. And I'm guessing we'll be back at it for prayer meeting Wednesday evening.
Good, good.
All right. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Be sure to say goodnight to the wildflowers, Bob.
Yeah. I'm gonna go right out. I'm gonna go right out and sing them a wildflower lullaby.
Well, I enjoyed the evening, Bob. Y'all take care.
All right, we'll see you, John. We'll see you, Billable Rick. We'll see you, Tracy. See you, Sparky.
Have fun at the hearing.
See you, Bob.
Yeah. I'm gonna try. Just as long as I'm not thrown out. We'll catch y'all later. Bye now.
All right. See ya.
And so that's the program for this evening. I'm not going to do all the stuff that I always do at the end of the program because I'm beat. I'll just say it was wonderful getting back behind the mic again. And this is a magnificent community. And I can't wait to get back in the studio. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.